Linda. Linda with a Y. L-Y-N-D-A.
Okay. Great.
Right. So, coaches, welcome to the Coach You Newcomers, Sid. My name is Simone Fear, and I am your co-host for this special interest group. And today we are focusing on the True Values program as a part of a series. First we did Clean Sheets, then we did the Blessed program. This month's True Values, and next month we're going to bring it all together to finalize or close out the series with the IMW model, known as Integrity Needs and Wants model, and hopefully make all of these things be much more valuable as part of your coaching toolkit. And so we've got a few folks on the line, and we welcome those who listen via the recording. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the value of the True Values program and then coach to it, similar to Coaching the Need Less program. And then we'll answer questions and go from there. So, ladies, welcome. And I want to check in with both of you based on your Coach You training experience and the history of being associated with Coach You. What do you already know about the True Values program?
Oh, okay, this is Heather. I'll go.
Okay.
So I thought she was, I think it's a bit of background noise. So far, the clean sweep has kind of felt like my foundations and really getting a concrete base level of who I am and what I need to sort out in my life so I can build upon that to my more, like, needs program, which was discussed last time, more about those basic needs that may have not been fulfilled in childhood, and I'm still yearning and searching to fill those basic needs. And then I see the True Values more as kind of like a want. And if I'm true to my clean sweep and my needless, my values will just kind of manifest into my life. But I could be way off. I actually haven't looked at this since for about a month. So I literally just sat down and picked up the sheet of paper.
And have you, so you're familiar with the assessment. Are you familiar with any of the information or training around it?
Sorry, the information and training? I mean, all this, no, I'm not.
Okay. And I'm asking this, I really was thinking probably not. And because this is part of the Advanced Coach Training Program, is the tool is available to you at all levels of the coach training, but where there's actually focused instruction on it comes in the Advanced Training Program. So, I know that you've been in class with me, and we've done some of around it for the IMW model a little bit, and so I know there's some familiarity there. But okay, great. So there, thanks. I'm just wanting to get a good idea of what to focus on. This will just help me see where to focus and where not. So Linda, let me check in with you and ask what is your familiarity with the True Values program?
I do remember in the personal foundation course, our instructor pointing out the True Values, and I believe, I'm looking through the assessment now, and I believe she asked that we complete the assessment at the time. It's been a while. I graduated from Coach U back in February. So I haven't really looked at some of this really since. I apologize.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
No problem. And I'm wanting to just double check if you have, you just did the Core Essentials program and not on to the Advanced program.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
I'm considering it, but right now I'm unemployed, so I can't afford to pay for it right now.
Okay. Okay. And then I am seeing that you and I have guiding principles together, but I'm not sure that we actually, I think you weren't able to complete it with me. So I'm
right.
just kind of thinking this, yeah, because I would have introduced it in a little bit different way, which is what this whole series is on. So, okay, great. So some familiarity. All right. This, again, this helps me to see what kind of things to focus on. And then also in the next SIG, we'll put all of the pieces together and show how they really weave together. But so just to kick us off, and do both of you have this document in front of you? It's Heather, it sounds like you do. And
yes, I think I'm looking at, I have the Coach U Essential Coaching Tools book out, and I turn to
okay.
the True Values Program.
Okay, that yep. is it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right, so the thing about this and as Heather had mentioned, you were talking about, I see the clean sweep, some of the foundation, and then you move to getting your needs met, and then there's the true values. And it is something, in fact, on the program itself, it does say, it is recommended that you work through the clean sweep and needless program prior to or concurrently with the true values program. And so a few things that I want to spotlight about it, I think the name, you know, really is kind of clever in that it speaks to, you know, to what it is, true values. And one of the positions of I was looking at something that said key values. One of the positions of Coach U around values and true values is that your values actually are you, which I think is kind of an interesting position to take, is you are your values. And some ways that they set this out is that values are the things that you don't have to make yourself do. You just do them. Or you don't have to make yourself pay attention to or tend to them. You just naturally want to. And so that ties in a bit, Heather, as you had mentioned about the want. And here's where, though, the problems arise around our true values is that most often they are squashed or pushed aside by needs, unmet needs, shoulds, and problems. Things like maybe if somebody even has an addiction or the procrastinator who runs on adrenaline and getting things done at the last minute, you know, that kind of gives them the oomph. I don't know why, but I just, you know, put it off to the last minute, and there's that adrenaline fix that they get from doing that. Or maybe somebody is really focused on a pipe dream, but they, you know, for example, I've been using this lately in classes. I don't sing that well. I've been told that I have a nice speaking voice, something about it, and, you know, we don't exactly know what we sound like to other people, but what I do know is I cannot sing. Or maybe just within a very short range. If I can stay right there, I'm A-okay. But if I have to go a little further up or a little further down, you really don't want to hear me sing. And so that being said, if I had come to coaching and said, I really want to be an opera singer. People tell me that I have a really nice voice and I love singing. I don't, you know, I kind of struggle with it, so I'd probably have to take some lessons and exercise my throat a little bit, but I just would love to be an opera singer. And the coach, okay, they might dig a little bit further, but in this sense, this might be, it might be something that it seems like I want for, but when we start coaching, we might actually discover, so an approach to coaching that could be, well, so what would you get from being an opera singer? You haven't done it to this point in your life, so what makes it so important? I'm stacking questions, but just giving you an idea of ways to approach that, so to dig in a little deeper. And I might say something like, well, I just don't, the costumes, really speaking and having some, you know, big makeup on stage that can be seen. I don't really wear makeup like that in my real life, so that would be kind of fun to dress up and just to stir people, to just have them be moved by the music or by the voice. It's just, wow, there's just something really powerful in that, and I, that makes me, just the thought of that makes me just get goosebumps all over. It just feels that exciting. That's what, you know, that's what I think would be great about this. And so then the coaching coming to a reality might help me discover, you know, a few things here. I might have an unmet need to feel special or be center of attention. So they could dig in, you know, you as a coach could work with me in discovering what my unmet needs are, and might discover that I need to feel special, I need to be center of attention, I need to be recognized, or you know, something like that, in which case, probably being an opera singer isn't really what I want to be. It's just, I didn't really see any other way, or I didn't understand how unmet needs might drive me. And, excuse me, versus, so that's one side of things, why when you look at the assessment, a lot of the words in the Need Less program and the True Values are the same. I'm not even going to say similar. Some of, like, a lot of this is exactly the same. It just becomes the come from that would determine whether it's a need or a value. So let's come back to, maybe that's not my unmet need, and the coach is working with me and works with me to discover my values. And so maybe in here, my value may be that I want to uplift people. That's part of teaching. I want to be connected with people. That's part of to relate. I want to have fun, so maybe that's part of pleasure. Mastery. I want to be excellent. And, you know, generally, if you're going to be an opera singer, you probably are excellent at singing. So there could be these values that come out. And then the coach, we might kind of coach through and discover that, well, although my voice isn't equipped for opera singing and to fulfill on these values, it could be some other way that I might use my voice, or I might use my talent. Just thinking about guiding principle number three, people contribute, and in that contributing, it's based on life purpose, and life purpose is sourced out of our values. So it may be that my purpose is to move people, and maybe my talent is being able to use my voice and doing that, but singing probably isn't the way. And so this could be a way that, a path of coaching in which we get through, as I had started that piece out, was that our values can hide. And in fact, in the Personal Foundation program, it says that while values run deep within us, they resemble turtles, since they hide themselves whenever danger is sensed. Danger in this case is anything that gets in the way of values, such as needs, shoulds, tolerations, unresolved matters, stress, irresponsibility, addictions, adrenaline, pipe dreams, roles, money, obligation, duties. And it goes on to say that given that the above listed items control the lives of most humans, it's no wonder that values don't get much of a chance to express themselves. And so I just want to bring that back to how it circles back to you are your values. That the things that you were driven to do, much like the needs begin in childhood, it's an unmet need that didn't get met in childhood, values are also expressed in childhood. It's the things that you just did naturally, enthusiastically, and things that really held your focus and your interest. So I'm going to stop there in terms of giving some background to or some foundation to understanding the True Values program, and wanted to check in to see what are you taking away from this piece of our conversation so far?
Simone, this is Linda. For me, what resonated with me is what you just said, that you know, values run deep inside of us, but due to, you know, maybe addiction, shoulds, you know, wants or needs, that we don't always express out values because of those other barriers that get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I mean, I can relate to some of that, you know, especially around the shoulds sometimes, or even addictions. I can see, you know, certain, like, well, you know, for me it may be something like shopping. You know, I love to shop, and sometimes it can go to the extreme of things of overspending, and, you know, it can, and it doesn't always serve me well.
Mm-hmm. And so what I'm hearing in that, Linda, is perhaps exploring or coaching around unmet needs could be a way to figure out what is it that you're really needing that shopping is taking us, you know, standing in the way for. And and then you might find, you know, perhaps maybe beauty is actually one of your values. And so it might be that maybe you buy a lot of beautiful things, or you buy clothes and jewelry and shoes that when you put on you feel beautiful or you look beautiful. And so, you know, there could be a way that they're even colliding in some way where they're trying to be fulfilled on but being overtaken by the other things going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. That sounds great. I think, yeah, that may be part of it, yeah. And for me, I think with shopping sometimes, it's creativity that I'm trying to express. Because, you know, when I dress in the morning, you know, my outfits have to be creatively coordinated. And so I, you know, kind of express the value that way. The value of creativity, probably, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's what I've kind of concluded.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to ask you to hang on to value of creativity. And we'll kind of explore a little bit down the line in this, what else you might be able to do with it that won't put you into any kind of situations that cost you that you can't afford. And I'm not just, you know, speaking about money, but it's the energy and the attention and, you know, whatever. If you're putting yourself into trying to get a need met, and, you know, and putting yourself into situations that really don't nurture and nourish and fulfill you and catapult you, then, then maybe there's other ways that you can do that. So,
Yeah,
sounds
great.
And Heather, let me check in with you to see, based on what I've shared on the foundation, what did you take away from that?
Well, I think I second what Linda said in respect to the shoulds and the needs and everything kind of sometimes taking over, but I'm quite visual, so the turtle was just, I completely got it with that one sentence, you know, like hiding in the shell and all. So that, thank you for that. And also when you described it, I had already gone through and chose my 10, and then I had 5 that I was kind of humming and hawing between, but once after listening to you, it became very clear what one was going to be missing. So, so I got more, and I just pretty much second what she said, so. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so, ladies, one thing I'm noticing, we're at the 25 minutes after mark, and I'm going to make a decision. Because the coaching is very similar to the Need Less program, I'm going to suggest anyone who's listening, whether you're on the call or recording, to listen to the coaching from the Need Less call. And what I'll do is I'll go through it here, and that way we can spend more time of what happens on the back end once somebody has a value identified. And then when we do INW, we'll even take it things a little further in terms of how they all interact together and things to be aware of and coaching to that level. And so the program itself, when you give it to your coaches or when you do it yourself, the instructions are to select. Well, it's funny. I'm looking at a 1999 version. It says select 20 values that naturally appeal to you. Not shoulds, not needs, not role-based, etc. And I know that it has been narrowed down to 10, like the Need Less program. So the idea then in doing the assessment, very similar to the Need Less program, is you narrow it down to 10, and then from that 10, likely if you were going to come to your coaching call, your coach would say narrow it down to 4, and so you get it down even, you know, to a smaller set, and then what the coach is going to do is likely have you coach you to narrowing it down to 1. And similar to the Need Less program, there might be something really surprising about it. It might be something that you hadn't considered is actually a real top-notch value. And so being able to coach through that conversation, some of the things that you would ask would begin with asking about childhood. And I do want to just put the stipulation here that coaching to an assessment like this is going to be a little bit different than your standard coaching conversation. So the setup is that the agreement for the session is that we're going to coach around this program, this assessment, and the measurement is that you would walk away with a value, and depending on how much time it takes, also possibly something to focus on to do with that value. So what's going to be different, there will be clarity around a primary value and poised to do something with it. So that becomes what the agreement is, and then depending on how far you get would then determine how you close out that conversation with action. So the action might be, you know, sit with this, or it could be to send the worksheet and have them work on the checklist at the back end of that assessment, or we'll work on this next time. You just be with it and try to focus on bringing more creativity or more beauty or more whatever into your life, and then the next call could be a preset agreement around, now we're going to really focus on making this like come to life in your life. So just wanted to put that, or if you get some action toward it, then it would just be around that action and, you know, how we're going to take that forward. So there's your opening and closing of the conversation, and in the in-between, it's a little more directed than a standard coaching conversation. And so in this sense, we do dip back into the past, and because we're not going to stay there and we're not going to focus entirely on childhood and trying to, you know, recreate it or heal things or redefine it, we can be there. And because we're bringing it forward, we can spend a little time there. So the first piece of this would be to ask the client about, so when you were 5 years old, and maybe we'll just play with creativity, when you were 5 years old, what role did creativity play in your life? Or when you look under that section for creativity, there's also some other words like design, ingenuity, build, invent, originality, perfect, synthesize, conceive, assemble, imagination, plan, inspire. And then I'll go to beauty. Beauty includes grace, loveliness, taste, refinement, radiance, elegance, magnificence, attractiveness, gloriousness. And so you would want to pick out what the word is and get a sense for how was that showing up in your life when you were 5 years old. Because that's about a good enough age to have some memories there's a little, you know, there's some cognitive development and some autonomy, you know, within their childhood. So there is that piece then of really getting the sense of what was it doing there. And then you can ask some questions about who are you, what's your life like when you are surrounded by beauty or immersed in beauty or creativity or elegance or originality. And what is your life like when you're lacking in originality or ingenuity? Or you can see I'm just picking some of those words. You wouldn't just keep hopping around with all of these words. You would just pick the one that is really setting with them. And what you're listening for is you're really listening for how naturally this plays out in your life. An example, this was in the text that I thought was really nice, So values are what you're naturally inclined, drawn, or eager to do. For example, some people are natural explorers. They were at age 6 and at age 40. They are taking adventure trips. Mm-hmm. Pretty obvious that exploring is a value for them. And the person with the value doesn't have to make themselves go explore. They just do. So, you know, could be that one of your friends or family members or spouse or significant other might be a total hiker and just love to get out in nature and go explore and adventure things out in nature. And for you, it's like, oh, what, bugs, hard ground, dirty? Yeah, no, I don't think so. And so, you know, clearly that's just the difference in values. And it's not even necessarily interest. It's like you would have to make yourself go, probably as an act of love, or having a willingness to experience their interest to see if maybe you're interested in it. But if it's your value, it's already, you just want to do it. You just want to follow that thread into whatever that next thing is. And so these are the kinds of things that you're going to be listening for. You're listening for how congruent their energy is with their words, how congruent or what kind of words they say about what they just were naturally drawn to doing versus the things that maybe they had to do. Like maybe somebody is a really good student or something, but they really had to develop the habit of studying. So perhaps the parents really fostered and made sure homework was done. Every day, studying was done. It was checked. There was no getting around it. And so now they may have developed a habit for being thorough, having reports done or done accurately or, you know, something. So it may be a talent that they developed, but it's not necessarily a value. I mean, they may value excellence in that way, but perhaps that level of research may not be one of their values. And so we're just listening for if it's something that they have habituated themselves to, so it could be a talent, versus it's just something they're wired for, which is a part of their genius. So you're listening for those that kind of congruence and incongruence. And you know, and then essentially, you know, just really helping them get down to the sense of how alive are you when this is fully present in your life? And how not alive are you when it's absent? And so that being said, I'm just going to stop here because I've explained a lot about the coaching, and I know that's not always the best thing to do, but I know it would have taken more time than just the time that we spent. So let me just check and see if there's any need for clarification around the process of working with someone around your values.
Not for me, Simone. I think I'm getting the gist of what you're saying for sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's really about the who who of the person and the values is a big part of that.
Indeed.
Yes. So you're, as part of drilling down and understanding the who of the client, I would think that the values, the true values program would really help to really get to the essence of the person.
Yes.
I mean, because even as I was listening to you talk, you really, I have to say, you're really helping me. I feel like you're coaching to me somewhat. Because I, you know, as I talked about creativity a little bit, and you asked those questions, you know, how alive are you, or how much energy do you have around it, I can see where, for example, maybe at work, and my job ended about a month ago, that I was absolutely bored in my work because I felt in a lot of ways that the creativity was missing. Creativity and some other values that I can point to, like autonomy and, you know, freedom to express myself and so forth.
And it occurs to me, Linda, that it could be also worth doing the Need Less program.
Okay.
And here's why I say that, because needs in the Need Less program are things that we need in order to feel whole and complete.
Okay.
And so this is where I think sometimes they can have a, you know, like there's these fine lines between which one is it, which one isn't it, and how we look at it is how they drive behaviors.
Okay.
So if the lack of creativity makes you, let's say at work, the creativity comes in the form of problem solving, and that way you can get creative about the solution. Well, if you thrive on putting out fires because you get to solve problems, then you might have to look at yourself and say, am I also the arsonist on the job?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got something to do, you know, that really drives me. So that, you know, kind of being that idea of adrenaline, you know, like, oh, the procrastinator, versus when it's kind of that still, small voice and there's just the quiet happening, instead of sitting still, are you more inspired by painting or drawing or maybe even rearranging or redecorating the room you're in? Or, you know, something, you know, kind of thing, and cycling out, like, the things that you have on display in the room. Because, okay, I'm kind of, I'm tired of this look. Let me bring out some other things that I love without having them clash and collide. I want each one to have their space for beauty to look at. So it could be that might be the things that you're just drawn to do, considering everything else in your life is handled. You're not procrastinating or avoiding other things and, you know, to do this. Because in that case, it might be that it's more of a need that hasn't been really recognized. So when you recognize it, then you can focus on, I need this to be whole. And you can invite other people in, maybe a next job, if it's, you know, working for someone else, then it could be in the job interview or however things go down, I really need to be creative on the job. What kind of opportunities are there for me to express my creativity? Here's how it shows up in creative solutions or you know, event organizing or, you know, whatever it is that you know. So you could ask for those things because you're interviewing them as well. And if they're like, nope, basically you're just going to get a paycheck for doing this, you might be like, that's not a good enough reason to take this job. And no, thank you. You know, good luck. You'll find a better fit, and so will I. And so,
right. That's a good point.
And so it's one of these things that what we start to also pay attention to is what are the motivations behind it, which makes in the tool it says work on the clean sweep and the need less either prior to the true values or at the very least concurrently. So that those things that we really need can get met. And in, the clean sweep is about integrity. I'm assuming at this point that you're familiar with it. You may not recall it so much, but that's where
I am
could be
familiar with
things
it.
Like,
yeah.
Do you make your bed every morning? Is there anybody you could run into at the airport that you would, you know, not want to run away from or avoid or something? I can't remember how it's worded. But,
uh-huh.
You know, those are elements of integrity, getting complete unresolved issues within your past, all part of the Personal Foundation Program. And so by having this rock-solid, deep foundation, the ability to live at the true values is so much more accessible and available, which is something that Heather really alluded to earlier in terms of likening it to want. And they really are wants. These are things that we really want for, but can't always make room for. So I'm looking at the time, and Heather, I just wanted to check in with you to see if there's any questions or comments that you have at this point.
I don't have any questions. I think you explained yourself quite well, and it's been lovely hearing both of you kind of speak through it and being able to take a back seat and just kind of absorb it. I think that's very true. That I'm starting to get a much clearer picture about the motivation and what drives the driving force behind something, behind our actions, behind our fears, but I don't even know if that's the right word. But yeah, just kind of understanding the intentions, getting really clear about what it is that's pushing us forward to do that. Where the needless program is, based kind of, I feel like more based kind of historical things pushing forward, where I feel like this one for me, the values feels a little bit more like my spirit or my true calling or my true me.
Yes. Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. And here's something as I scroll through some of this older material that I have. It says, so part of this, when you're doing the program, right, you start out with a 10, narrow it down to 4, and then I think we've just been talking a lot about this, but I'm just going to read this little bullet point list. And it says, now, toss out the needs and the shoulds from your list. So, for example, if you need it to be happy, if you need it in order to be happy, it's a need, not a value. If you're doing it in order to get something else, it's not a value. If you want it, but it doesn't come easily, it's probably a should. If you did it when you were 8 years old, it's probably a value. If it's really exciting and you're afraid of it, it may be a value. And so I think those are just some really some nice things, pointers to keep in mind to really discern and make some of those distinctions. And for ourselves, but also as we're thinking about our clients, because we'll start to listen to what the patterns are for them in terms of, if it's not really coming easily, then why do they think they should do this or they should have this or this should be a part of their life? And it might be an old message of, that's just the people in my family. Like, we should be doctors or lawyers or CPAs or carry on. We should take over the family business or, something that just may have been ingrained in them, and it really isn't their thing. And so we do listen, it's just our ear. We start to hear the patterns and how these things get revealed, and they just don't line up. And so, but now we're at this place where they've narrowed it down to their 4 values, and it could even be 1. I'm going to bring it down to where we're just working on 1, unless they naturally fit in together. But basically, this is really then helping the client to pick 1 value and take 10 steps to honor it. And so this is ultimately what this is helping our clients or ourselves do, is to fully reorient around one of your key values. And the thing is that when we reorient around a key value, a whole lot of other things in life are going to shift. And they might naturally draw in some of the other values, or it could be you focus on one, and you're walking this parallel path of cleaning up your life of the needs and integrity while simultaneously catalyzing, you know, a life around a value. So it's a part of creating on one hand and cleanup on the other. And then once you get things handled and on both of those tracks, you start to have less to clean up, and you can then focus on a next value, and just orient around that. And so some of the examples that they give here, and this is in the Personal Foundation book, so you can definitely go into it. It's going to be in the latter portion of that workbook, the Personal Development Workbook, in the PS3. But some examples that they give, so in the example, they've chosen the value of creativity. And there's these 10 steps are changes to make in your life to allow the value to be expressed. And so it could be something like let go of projects and commitments that don't allow you to be creative. Surround yourself with 3 friends who are very creative and learn from them. Take an art class. Ask people what they see you being naturally creative at. Stop tolerating the circumstances which diminish your creativity. Pick a goal that you can reach by the end of the year. Pick a goal that shows you you're serious about your values. Pick a goal that is something you'd enjoy doing, not should do. Ask your friends and your coach what goals they see for you. Pick a fresh goal, no recycling allowed. So you can see that it's inclusive of having support, doing some of that cleanup work, raising the standards, not tolerating something, but extending boundaries around a value. And so then some other examples could be then select or design an exciting project to fully express one's value. So continuing with the creativity, here's some examples. Teach a class in being creative. Sculpt for the first time. Make words up. Redecorate. Design a $1 million financial independence plan for yourself. But the idea here is to make the project big enough to command your attention for between 6 months and 1 year. Remember, you are learning the skill of being your values. It takes time and support to move through the space to make that natural. And so I think that the reminder here is that there's time, there's space, and that this is also, it's exercising a muscle. So when you go to the gym and you lift, you know, a new kind of weight or machine or something, and you ache a little bit, you're going to ache for a while until the muscle gets used to it and builds up some strength and stamina, and then, you know, you add more weight and you ache a little bit more. But it's going to let you know that it hasn't been used in a while, if it hasn't been used in a while. And so it's really similar here that you may have to make yourself tend to this, but I think that's only that could be a natural response, considering that if we still have a lot of needs, should, toleration, basically, you know, value suckers, value eaters, then if we don't handle those, we're just at risk of failing ourselves, not keeping a promise to ourselves around this value. So if you're doing this with your clients, this can be something in which maybe a different level of accountability happens. It could be something that becomes a bit more of like a given agenda, if you will. So when you're setting up those session agreements, maybe the overarching agreement for this 6 months is that we're really going to focus on me living to my values. And so you'll want to keep in mind, how does this relate to your value? How is this distracting you from fulfilling and committing to reorienting your life around the value? So it becomes part of that managing progress and accountability that we're all, like, kind of the heartbeat of the conversation that we're keeping our finger on the pulse of needs to always be beating to the beat of that value. And if we feel it moving too far away in any one direction or another, we can call their attention to it, and maybe they discover, actually, this just has led me to a more important value. So maybe there's a renegotiation around that. Or it could be, I'm getting overwhelmed by all this other stuff, that they've got to spend a little more time and attention on integrity cleanup and getting some needs met so they have enough juice to really focus on. But I would say that they wouldn't necessarily have to give up on it, but you just might have to dial it back a little bit so that they can catch up to themselves and not set themselves up for failure versus really helping to support them into success and transformation and change. So I want to check in here. I know we're nearing the top of the hour, and just check in to see what are you taking away from that portion of coaching for values.
Simone, I'm still here. I said I was going to sign off at 4:45, but it's such a good discussion that I decided to just wait and stay.
Oh, yay! Yeah. So what'd you get out of that, Linda?
Yeah, what's coming up for me, I think that I need to be, really clear on what my key value is. What was coming up for me is creativity. But just as you said, I need to know the distinction between a need and the value, and really exploring further and taking the needless assessment, and maybe even going through the clean sweep again as well. And just really kind of assess where I am. I think this is probably a good time in my life to do all of that, because I am in between jobs. And I have more, some free time. And so I am in the process of really just doing a lot of self-assessment and really thinking about what's next in my life, as far as career, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a great time for all of this to be happening for you.
Yes. And I like what you said as far as, looking for the next opportunity, making sure that I make sure I reorient myself around the key value, whatever that will be, the number one value, whether it's creativity or is it something else.
Mm. And I think something to consider there also is, let's say you end up getting a job that doesn't really honor your values, then, or your key value, then what would have to be in place then is just the acknowledgement of, this is simply a means to an end, and that there's something else going on in your life in which your value or values are being honored, so that they don't just get, downtrodden again. They don't have to be the turtle and retreat into the shell, but that they are being nurtured. So, the means to a financial end is just that, and therefore it doesn't feel like it's sucking the life out of you.
Right.
Could be a way of approaching that. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's what I tell some of my clients as well. To find other things that you can do outside of work that will fulfill those needs.
And something I want to check in with you, Heather, but I want to put this out there for the two of you and anyone else who might listen, that so next month, we'll be doing the IMW model and just bringing all three of these assessments together. And it could be a great opportunity for you to just partner up and coach each other around these things. So for two reasons. One, to develop yourselves and your own foundation, but also to develop some coaching chops around using these tools with your clients, because you really have experienced the depth and breadth of them. So if that's of interest for either of you or anyone that's listening and you don't want to connect on Facebook, you can send me an email directly and, you know, tell me if there's somebody that you wanted to connect with or that you would give me permission to share your name and contact info, like your name and email, with someone else. And that way I can keep that in mind and just keep making these announcements, particularly because as Coach U coaches, you're familiar with the tools or they're accessible to you. So I know there are things like ReciproCoach where you could practice some things, but you're not necessarily going to get a Coach U coach. And so that, I think that in that sense, this community may be really a good resource for you to tap into. So even if there's learning partners that you've had from some of your other classes, even if you've been out of class for a while, that you could consider checking in with some of those classmates, you know, for a learning partner or a coaching buddy around these things. So anyway, that was just an idea I had. And Heather, let me check in with you to see where you're at with all of this.
Well, first of all, I think that's a great idea what you just suggested to offer out. So I'll probably reach out and send you an email. So thank you for that, for the foresight and thought behind it. It's really lovely. I think what stuck out for me in that last segment mostly was how powerful it can be just to focus on one point of, the word comes to me, one point of joy. Like, for me, my values are learn to experience, to set standards, and to relate with God. And, what a wonderful, wonderful thing to think of, like a project or something big enough that I can focus on to really, truly bring that up, that vibration level up. Does that make sense? Within me? So, I just, like you said, doing a talk or teaching it to something, or that's what really just stood out for me. And I was like, wow, what a great idea to really add fuel to the fire of something that really is truly connected to my core and my essence, and share that with others.
Yeah, and I hear the excitement in your voice. This is your reflection on the possibilities. And so I think it's just testimony, your testament, from actually both of you, to really how powerful and how important and critical values are to our fulfillment and well-being. And so, ladies, I want to thank you so much for your time and attention today. And so this really is the conclusion of our True Values program conversation, and I will just check and see, is there any questions that you have that need to be answered before we part ways, or anything else that you would like to share or leave behind for someone else?
No, I think this was a great discussion. I'm glad I stayed, and I will email you as well. I would like to take advantage of the coaching opportunity.
Okay. Well, probably then I'll put the two of you together.
So, okay. Yeah. That works.
That was a nice fit. Yeah. Okay, great. All right. We'll
I would love to.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you, coaches. Enjoy a beautiful day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.